You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. As usual, it's that time of year. We're bringing back our favorite recurring guest slash third co-host, president of Zipline, president and founder, Mr. Andrew Lynch. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Thank you for the co-host acknowledgement. That felt good.
Absolutely. We're headed into summer season, which means turning over Q2 into Q3. That's what we're talking about today, a little Q3 market update. So let's just dive right in. What are your perceptions, Andrew, of the current state of the freight market?
God, it's going to pick up in just another six more months.
Yeah.
Six more months, we're going to be in a tight market. Yeah, it's the same exact market that it was last quarter and the quarter before that. And the, you know, essentially the eight quarters prior to those, right? Yeah, I think that everybody feels optimistic that mm-hmm. this recession's coming to a close. I think some of that optimism is you know, maybe seeping its way into pessimism around how shippers are behaving. I anecdotally, we're starting to feel a little bit more of a flight to quality, a little bit more of a focus on actual partnerships. If to whatever extent, you know, sentiment leads to reality, then we're making headway. But statistically, we seem to, you know, still be kind of in that little hamster wheel.
Absolutely. I would say, from my perspective on the floor, nice to see some signs of quote unquote normalcy, right? I've been in this 18 years. So in most of the 18 years that I've been doing it, around April 1st, produce starts popping. And around Blitz Week, trucks come off the road. And around Memorial Day, there's people on vacation. So there is minor disruptions or minor quote unquote capacity crunches, or perhaps it's just everyone's kind of it's just a Pavlovian response of like, nope, on Memorial Day I upcharge because capacity's tighter and we're all in this together. And like, it is what it is. Like, we're not just going to keep taking some hits on the chin. So yeah, that's been at least a quote unquote normalcy on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And yeah, I mean, seeing a little bit of seasonality come into play, you know, is a welcome change, you know, but at the end of the day, right, for at least from where I sit, it's great to, you know, be on top of, you know, the van outbound tender rejection index and
sure,
yada, yada, yada. But what we sell against are our behaviors, mm-hmm. right? And it's, you know, are we a better partner than our competitors? Are we, a you know, truer to our word than our competitors? Do we have better relationships across our networks and our, you know, everything else than our competitors? And, you know, so to me, again, you know, the seasonality comes and goes. It always has. You know, what is going to give me real optimism, you know, getting out of bed every single day is when I start to see, you know, the typical broker behaviors coming back into play, right? You know, those tip. And I think, you know, again, some of the RFPs that we've seen lately have indicated that some of that typical broker behavior's back, right? Some of the questions we're getting asked by, you know, shippers that were, you know, kind of in the game for are protecting against service failures that we would have never allowed in here,
right?
Pre, during, or post COVID.
Yeah.
Seem to be starting to rear their heads again.
Let's talk about some big picture items specifically tailored to Q3. We're going to first start off, we had a whole separate podcast about it, but tariffs, the pending 90-day pause is coming up on July 9th. That's obviously 9 days into Q3, post July 4th holiday, which happens on a Friday this year. That's exciting for everybody, just anecdotally. Predict the future for us on what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks.
The only future I can predict is that what I guess I hope, which is probably another 90-day pause.
Yeah.
You know, and this, that's not like a shot or whatever at the administration. I just think it's probably really, really hard to negotiate this many deals in this short of an amount of time. And that while lots of people might be coming to the table with full intentions of getting a deal done, they're complicated. And, you know, so maybe letters of intent and things like that are all that you really need.
You're saying global economic deals takes more than 3 months to figure out while other things are going on.
I mean, that's my understanding of them.
Sure.
Yeah, which is limited, I guess. What if we just found out they're super easy?
Super easy.
It's a quick, you know, one pager.
10%, 10%.
Yeah.
Rubber stamp it. Let's go.
Yeah. Bada bing. Now, look, if everybody was zero, I think some great things would happen. And yeah, these would be very simple deals. But I don't think that's what's on the table.
Okay. Well, listen to our other podcast about that. We don't want to get bogged down in tariffs.
No, we don't.
We could honestly talk about it for hours and go round and round.
I know you said not, but I'm just going to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see, you know, it's going into a new quarter. It's going before a holiday. I think we're going to see an uptick in more orders coming in, people ordering more. You order a lot from the store.
Fingers
around
crossed.
4th of July anyway. The fact that it's around a Friday means people are going to have that previous Sunday orders more.
Yeah.
Tariffs coming up, those conversations are going to be around. So I think that we're going to see more shelves need to be refilled, depending on where you're buying from. With recent problems from other distributors, shelves might be empty anyway. So I think you're going to see an uptick in orders, and I think that's going to lead to an uptick in rejections as well. More in the Spock market, more fun, more stress for the holidays.
Yeah, more fees and fines. It's funny you bring it up because I all of a sudden, you know, that the UNFI, you know, sort of system glitch is all over the internet, right?
It's news,
all
yeah.
over LinkedIn and blah, blah, blah. What I'm wondering is, I think I mentioned this on the tariff thing. I certainly said it at home, is that, you know, the one fear I had around the whole tariff mess, even before the 90-day pause, was people are going to freak out. People have like PTSD from empty shelves, from COVID, and they're going to go start buying stuff that has
behaviors,
nothing to do with tariff.
Yep.
Yeah. And we did, right? I told my wife, I was like, hey, pick up maybe like some extra things of like paper towel, stuff like that, just because I think that people are going to go nuts here, and they shouldn't, but they will. And I wonder if that UNFI situation, which is causing serious shelf space gaps,
is going to trigger more.
Your average shopper doesn't know that UNFI has been shut down for a week.
Sure.
So your average shopper's looking at this like, oh my God, this is the tariffs, right? And they might start running around panic buying.
It's interesting.
UNFI might have kicked off a
3 week run of
and I think that's going to relate
wipes
to CPG, you know, food and beverage, because I have a signature cocktail that we do every 4th of July. We have a signature appetizer, and I need these specific things. Like, we have very specific, you know, like, I make a chocolate cream pie, and if it is not Hershey's cocoa, I am not making it. So it, even though I know all of it, it's the same, but I think that that's going to cause a problem, because if you don't have that, if you're not seeing it, you're going to order a lot more and cause that panic.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, look, between this being sort of, you know, peak for us, right? It's peak season, right? We're in this, you know, sort of food, bev, consumption season. And, you know, this type of disruption is pretty ugly. I mean, at least for brands that don't have control of their freight, which I think, if anything, whether it's tariffs or it's you know, a giant, you know, whole natural foods distributor shutting down, the lesson is control your controllables.
Control
your distribution, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, watch the space for our upcoming spinoff podcast, Signatures, with Teddy's Cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
Appetizers. That's going to be good.
I've got a bunch of signature things. You know, I'm constantly branding things of mine. So.
But let's talk about those kind of quote-unquote busy season that you mentioned. The first one on my show notes, and certainly in my life, is back to school, right? It's hard to believe. We just got out of school, but it's coming up. It's, you know, back in July, it's back to school. And we also have hurricane season. It's all things to consider. That's not necessarily a busy season thing, but it's, again, one more element into the mix.
Yeah.
And then our classic, we've got the holiday, July 4th, kicking off Q3, Labor Day in the mix. And then a couple more CVSA blitz weeks around Safe Driver Week, which is mid-July, and then Brake Safety Week, which is in mid-August. That is, again, talk about seasonality and things that we deal with every year. That's traditionally the time frame of all those, with the first one happening in May.
Yeah.
So all things to consider in Q3 as we navigate these busier times.
I do think that there's a chance, as you know, again, as the statistics, you know, lean more and more towards indicating that we're at equilibrium, right? That supply and demand are relatively in balance. And, you know, that's why you see spikes around, you know, break week and the like. And, you know, I do think that one thing that I actually came in with notes today for the first, I don't take notes.
Nice.
These guys know I don't take notes anywhere. My handwriting is I can't even really make it out, but I took the time to really write this so I could read it. I took a bunch of notes about the driver population, because I think that it's a really, really interesting shifting dynamic. And that I think that that this is the type of environment where heading into Q3, even though we've been in this softness and the softness remains, and look, the softness isn't demand driven. We need demand spikes to happen to share it, but it's, you know, we're way oversupplied, right? And some, you know, statistically, for those that don't know, there's still actually 90,000 more active trucking companies operating in the United States in the for hire business. So exclude parcel, exclude private fleets. Like, we're talking about straight up the people that your brokerage partners go out and find. 90,000 more of them than there were in February 2020. That's a 35% increase in that population. And keep in mind, we've lost 50,000 trucking companies, right, over the last 24 months or more. I forget what the actual numbers are. But what's super interesting about that is that, and look, the carrier population has always been small, but the dynamics that are shifting over this amount of time, carriers between 1 and 5 trucks right now, there's 237,000 of those, which represents about 410,000 drivers.
Mm-hmm.
With carriers more than 100 trucks, there are 1,900 of total at this point, representing 790,000 drivers. Now, in 2020, there were 12% fewer total drivers. And the difference between then and now is specifically on the dynamic side is that the population of carriers with over 100 trucks is down 2.4% versus that time.
Hmm.
The population of carriers with 1 to 5 trucks is up 38.7% since that time.
Really?
Yeah. So think about how impactful that is for your average shipper or broker, right? Anyone who's out buying actual capacity.
Yeah.
You now have to be able to maintain a lot more relationships, understand a lot more about your population, and really, really importantly, understand more about your network and who you deliver to, right?
Yeah.
The rules of the game, because you have to know that you're not dealing with a hyper sophisticated, right? It's not that companies with 1 to 5 trucks aren't great and ethically grounded and values driven, but they're not going to have, you know, a massive database of consignee information or an understanding of how these dynamics work. And they especially are not going to be able to be patient about, you know, handling issues like showing up to a UNFI location and they're shut down for a week,
right?
These are humongous problems when you put it through the lens of, wow, the population of carriers that we have out there is a bunch of tiny companies that really don't have flexibility at all in the way that they operate.
Right.
So
razor thin.
Yeah, razor thin margins, super cash strapped, and then also just no, there aren't extra assets, right? I mean, we've got, and our population's always looked like that, right? But,
right.
You know, we have, you know, think about the solutions that we bring to bear around retailers where it's like, oh, hey, I mean, specifically with UNFI, right? I think we leaned into our Costco network quite a bit this week when we had trucks showing up at locations on Sunday night or Saturday night, Sunday night after the shutdown was happening. And we were like, oh, well, this guy can't just sit on this shipment for 8 days unless you want to send him a check for, you know, $9,000. We're going to need to
get it off the truck, get it stored in a reasonable place. Yes,
yeah, exactly.
That's close by.
Yeah. So having those, you know, having those solutions ready to go because because we're in this space was really impactful. And I think, you know, each and every demographic has its own challenges, its own opportunities to stand out. And you know, when you're dealing with a really, really, really extremely fragmented population, you've got to be, you know, kind of even sharper, even faster, even more knowledgeable.
That makes me think when you're talking about Costco and all these actual, like the retailers themselves, and then the distributors that sometimes will deliver to them are after hours, so they can make sure that they get to these DCs and get to the stores in a timely fashion. But then the carrier population that you're talking about makes it that much harder, because normally we work with carriers that have a yard that will use a local driver to help with that after hours. But if that's going away, those appointments are going to be even harder to meet, and the MABDs are going to be more difficult. And it's going to, I think, not impact the brands in a negative way, but impact the distributors in a negative way, where people are going to start realizing they can go around because Whole Foods has normal receiving hours and actually more than 4 hours. So it'll be interesting to see how this has an impact on that and the success of brands on the retailers that they go to. And I think we even talked about it in our episode on tariffs about, like, you know, being a little bit different about the products that they're putting out and the retailers that they're growing with, rather than trying to be in every retailer, just focusing on your area, your demographics that like your product.
Yeah. And, you know, think about that through the lens of this, you know, kind of dislocation, same way we talked about tariffs, right? When dislocation happens, whether it's consumer driven or, you know, retailer driven or supply driven, you know, but everyone's operation has to shift a little bit, right? And again, go back to the size of these companies. And if suddenly, you know, a large customer, you know, disappears, changes their manufacturing location, stops importing something, starts importing something different, you know, and a lane disappears, that can be enough to put a one truck operation out of business. And, you know, so how fragile, you know, those companies are and how huge this demographic is, right? And so it's just kind of back to that lens of what the market could look like is you could really get into a place where you start to see the capacity wash out happen faster. I think, I don't know. I think maybe we all say this. This might be the same thing as saying just another 6 months. I don't know.
Well, I was discussing that earlier, whether I'm more aware of it or maybe it's just in the news more. It feels like I don't have any true data, but it feels like I've seen more news stories in the last 3 months than I had previously.
Of carriers exiting the market?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so too. And I just saw there was actually a massive increase in carrier authorities happen, but like they all happened in like Fresno, Riverside, and like Elk Grove Village.
So it's organized
like,
crime?
Yeah, it's all fraud. Apparently fraud, which, you know, thankfully, you know, we're really managing well here to avoid, but apparently it's at a peak. It's gotten worse.
Ongoing problem.
I didn't think it could get worse than last year.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's really intense.
Watch the space for that podcast, fraud podcast. It's going to be exciting.
I can't believe we haven't done one.
I think we
can. It kind of sounds fun.
We talk about it, everyone.
I want to talk about those Sing guys. Who are those guys?
I don't know. It's impressive.
I probably shouldn't talk about those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. You don't want that
don't
coming after you.
Yeah, never mind. That wasn't me.
All right.
Delete that. That better.
We're going to pivot to like big picture pain points, advantages for shippers. Where do you think people can take advantage of maybe the market heading into Q3, or where do you think they're going to experience some issues?
I think that what we're seeing in the kind of new business RFPs and the some of the proactive sort of conversations around extending contracts are smart shippers really getting out in front of this and recognizing that, you know, look, a leopard can't change its spots, right? I mean, if you're getting incredibly cheap prices and, you know, knockdown service from someone that, you know, doesn't necessarily have that reputation or didn't have that reputation when the market was challenging, they're probably not going to be giving you the same knockdown service and dirt cheap rates that they are giving you right now. So,
yeah,
you know, evaluating your partners through the lens of something other than what do they cost me today on this load? Evaluating them through the lens of, you know, what are their value added services? You know, what makes this company special for me, for my business? What do they know about my business? What asymmetric advantage can they give me that I can't get from the generalist down the street who's calling me with cheap trucks in my area?
Right.
And so I think that that's really the way to do it right now, is to really focus on building your partnerships, understanding who your potential partners are, you know, what you want that to look like, and then, you know, pursuing it really actively and proactively. Don't wait for your contract to expire to start talking about next year's contracts. I know in my seat, I love predictability. I love being able to look at 2026 and say, okay, I've got, you know, these 12 contracts that I know I can use as a foundation for building added services for those companies, mm-hmm. right? And I can lean into those companies in ways that I can't lean into folks that are, you know, maybe not on the stablest ground. So that's a lot of where I see upside in this market. It's just like, this is a great time to identify really good partners, a low risk time to
solidify
identify
those really partnerships, those long-term partnerships.
Yeah.
The classic, we're not in it for 3 months, we're in it for 3 years plus. Like that. So
I just want to add something.
Go ahead.
To that, when we say partnership, it makes me think of like a team, like your team, and everyone has to have something that they can add to that team to be successful. Otherwise, you'll get cut thinking about college sports. And you're not adding the right things, or if you have multiple people doing the same thing. So as a brand, if you have a logistics team who is helping to, you know, schedule and route and make sure that everything is where it should be and the rates are where they should be, but then also half talking to buyers and customers and dealing with that, you're not effective. You need to have someone who can actually be an extension of that, to your point, like understanding the brand. And if that's something that you're doing twice, it's not effective. So if you don't have an effective team, you're never going to continue to grow successfully or as you planned. And I think that that's really important, is that you need to be asking those questions. You need to have someone who can help you, you know, confirm, are these charges accurate? You know, are they actually ordering the way that they should be ordering? They should be assisting with things, not double checking.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good point, and a really good, you know, that's probably something that I don't know if we really touched on that enough during the tariff conversation, but you know, you didn't start a soda company or a potato chip company or a, you know, whatever, a specialty ingredients business because you're great at chasing down trucks. Right. And in this marketplace, whether it's tariffs or, you know, beverage season picking up or back to school season causing capacity constraints or, you know, the driver population shifting, there's an awful lot in your own business outside of transportation that is incredibly dynamic, right? Your supply costs are going up, your ingredient, you know, labels are changing. Your distributor to your largest retailer just shut down for a week. You probably have a lot to worry about in your business other than this. And so, you know, leaning into a partner that can, you know, take something off your plate that is really not a core competency and then do it the way that you would if you had the time and, you know, experience to do it, I think is a really important lesson.
Yeah. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, tee up. What would Zipline do with, what does Zipline do differently for those partners?
Well, you know, it depends on really what they need from us, but generally it's helping them gain visibility into where the gaps are, not just in their transportation network, but in their entire supply chain and working with them on solutions towards those. So whether it's lead time, you know, retailer by retailer lead time or location by location lead time, whether it's modal optimization or carrier mix optimization, you know, all these things are on the table. Being transparent, giving them visibility, right? Walking them through what it is that drives the dynamics of our business. Being able to show up and speak to our buy side effectiveness and why we choose the carriers we choose and be really, really transparent with them about what actually drives the you know, the price of a truck from A to B. You know, those kind of things are invaluable to consumer goods shippers and, you know, probably to other demographics too, but especially in our space when we can show up with, you know, I mean, the UNFI thing, right? I don't think we have customers with empty shelf space right now, right? We've got customers who know exactly where their product is that we've, where we've contacted personally people on site at UNFI distribution centers and gotten ourselves forced in, gotten product delivered, gotten product scheduled ahead of other folks who are just jumping into the portal.
Right. Yeah.
And getting a rejection notice and moving on with their day. Right. So I think having this sort of, you know, kind of special ops level of focus when these problems come up, right. That look at a $10 billion generalist brokerage, UNFI is shutting down. It may not even make the news on the floor, right?
Right.
Those folks are not paying attention to that. They're just getting appointment rejections or they're getting appointments for 5 weeks from now.
Firing out the flagpole.
And accepting them. Yeah. And so, you know, being an active participant in the consumer goods space is an important thing that sets us apart here. It's not just marketing speak. It's execution. It's the way that we solve problems. And that'll always be different here.
The data that you mentioned and the partnership level with folks of address their KPIs, right? Through Canopy, our system, our proprietary intelligence software Canopy, you know, if they're focusing on cost per skid or cost per case, et cetera, you know, we can dive in there and we can be that one-to-one partner if we need to. I think what separates us from around our retail strength and our CPG expertise is certainly the next level, right? What else are we seeing? Yes, we could report every month on, or every week, whatever cadence you want, on your primary KPI, cost per skid. But we're going to take a couple extra steps to say, maybe it's a consolidation point or a different delivery day, right? We've talked about that before where, hey, maybe you should have a conversation with your buyer and not run this 2-day point to deliver on Tuesday. So we can ship it Monday and deliver Wednesday, right? That goes a long way. So that's where I think it's exciting to, as you said, special operations or, you know, detective work to like uncover some of these opportunities, which goes a long way.
Yeah. I remember a big client that leaned on us a lot that was with us for a very long time until they were acquired. And I specifically remember we measured cost per pallet for them. They had multiple locations. They served every retailer in the country. And I specifically remember their cost per pallet going from like $145 per pallet to, during COVID, being averaging at like $62 a pallet. And we were, and like at the bottom of COVID, it was like $40 a pallet, right? We were like really actively measuring this. And what we had done over the years, it was really Katie and her team, but had worked with them on every single retailer, optimizing those due dates, like the day of the week that they should be due for their network. Every time they opened up a new facility, running it back and doing it again until everything was set up to be just, and it was years, right? It took time.
Sure.
But it was constant. And every single time, every week, it was like, you nailed it. It was like how these orders came in, there was always an opportunity to consolidate. There was always an opportunity to use the best possible LTL carrier, the best possible truckload carrier for every location. It was really impressive work. And
it was an art form.
It really was. I know that we're still doing that all the time. I just share it, the pleasure of being in it. Right. But
yeah,
that's like what you referenced. I mean, that kind of work is just, it's so unbelievably impactful. We had I had a prospect call with one of our sales guys and she asked that question. She was like, hey, we walked through the consolidation tool. And she's like, hey, do you ever in these ones that don't work, do you ever come back and ask? And I was like, what a fantastic question. You're a genius. Yes, we do. And it's actually the way that we're going to probably change your business the most over the next, 12, 24 months. So,
right.
Very cool.
We're always asking.
It's
not in a bad way. We're always asking.
Yes.
Can you do this?
Yeah.
Any major shifts in Q3?
I could not possibly imagine that being the case.
Yeah. I would agree.
Maybe a double hurricane. I mean, if we get the...
I think we're actually due for a pretty bad natural disaster this year.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
Gosh. Man.
Just saying it.
How about another pandemic?
No, we're okay.
Let's get one of those.
Since I can tell the future, we're okay on that.
Yeah. What kind of, can you get more specific?
I think it's going to be two or three at a time, and I think it's going to hit bad, and I think it's going to do southeast and northeast.
Oh.
And I think it's going to be one of those.
A double hurricane.
Double hurricane, and I think it's going to be some flooding and some issues.
Oh, boy. Maybe a Sharknado in there, too?
Yeah, probably a Sharknado. That makes sense, too.
Sharknado? I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to dedicate a whole podcast to that.
Yeah. Watch this space. So we've got signatures coming out and the Sharknado dedicated podcast. As always, leave a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple if you learned something new. Check out our quarterly update blog by clicking the link in the show notes. Give us a call, 888-GO-ZIPLINE, www.ziplinelogistics.com. Andrew, thank you for joining us as always. Teddy, wonderful job.
Thanks, Jesse.
We'll see you next time on the Zipline Logistics podcast. Take care, everyone.